Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. For over 35 years, Covenant has provided everything from routine community health screenings to advanced heart procedures, and serves as the only certified chest pain center in the region. Now here's your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome to Faith Matters. I'm Tom McGovern, your host this Sunday afternoon. And I'm delighted to have back with us this afternoon Dr. Clark Cochran. Clark, we've known each other for 47 years. What I'd like to do this afternoon with our listeners is to reminisce a little. I know your mother died recently. How old was she?
She was 99. She died a year ago this past March. She was a native of Baltimore, and that's where I grew up, except for a few years during the Second World War when she and my father moved around because he was in the FBI during that time. And I was actually born in Milwaukee when they were in Milwaukee. But except for a few years during the Second World War, she lived in Baltimore all her life.
I'm sure our listeners would be interested in this very independent woman. Your dad died very young. He died when you were 14.
Yeah, he died suddenly when I was 14. My brother was 12. She remained a widow for 57 years, raised the two of us by herself, lived in her own apartment for the last 50 years of her life. Right to the very end, she died in that apartment. She didn't want to come to Texas. 6 or 7 years before she died, she fell and broke her pelvis in her early 90s, and I flew up there. She was in a rehab hospital, and I opened the door, and the very first words out of her mouth, this is literally true, were, "Clark, I'm not moving to Texas."
Oh, my goodness. And then, number one, we must admire her independence, which is beautiful, and her ability to live alone in an apartment for so many years. At the same time, as a son concerned about his mother, there's also the challenges involved.
Well, a challenge and a burden, too. I don't want to romanticize it, although she was an amazing woman, professional woman, had a career, and raised the two boys by herself. The fact that she would not move out of the apartment into a assisted living or any kind of retirement community, she would not move to Texas, meant that when she got in trouble, my brother had died in 2008. He lived there close to her, and he was kind of take care of her. Well, then it fell to me, and I was a long way away. And so it was a burden on her and a burden on me to try to do that long distance. So my wife Ann and I are moving to North Carolina sometime this year, precisely because we don't have any children here, and we don't want to do to them what mother did to us by getting old and sick and needing help and having them 500, 1,000, 1,500 miles away. There's something wonderful about that independence, and then something that's very difficult about it.
Quite daunting in a way. And I guess there has to be a compromise, I imagine, somewhere, and it's sometimes hard to find that compromise.
Oh, it is. My wife and I tried to offer her all kinds of options, all of which were declined politely, and sometimes more than politely, when I walked into that room and she said, not moving to Texas. It wasn't that she had anything against Texas. It was that she was from Baltimore and she was going to stay in Baltimore
and die on
her own terms, which she did. You know, in a way, it's sort of the story of the flip side of American individualism, isn't it? You know, that fierce independence has so many admirable qualities and yet is a huge pain for Americans themselves and for the rest of the world sometimes. So I don't want to make a metaphor out of my mother's life, but there is something about that.
But, you know, on the one hand, respecting the individualism as we age, but at the same time, trying to come to grips with the responsibilities that family members feel towards us.
And yes, exactly. There's no cookie-cutter solution. My mother was medically in very good shape until she kept breaking hips and so forth. But then she'd do the physical therapy and recover. She was mentally sharp till a week before she died. So you could not say, well, mother, we're laying down the law and you are going to do X, Y, or Z. That just wouldn't have been respectful or true to her or our relationship. At the same time, if a parent is in a different situation where they're medically fragile or where they're mentally fragile, then you come to different decisions.
What sustained Anne and yourself in this journey with your mother?
Well, a couple of things. One is a sense of humor, that we could laugh at mother saying, first words out of her mouth, I'm not moving to Texas. She had a good sense of humor. I think Anne and I have a good sense of humor. We have a wonderful marriage and a wonderful relationship, and we kind of sustain each other. We'll be married 50 years this summer. Our faith, you know, these things are in God's hands. We obviously have a part in it. We need to make the best decisions we can, but we can't write the script for our own future.
So prayer and a sense of trust and hope mm-hmm. and a sense of humor.
When I'd get upset, my mother, Anne, would calm me down, and vice versa. When she'd get upset, I'd calm her down a bit, and we kind of did the journey together. I mean, there were times that I had to be gone from Lubbock for weeks or months at a time if mother had fallen and broken a hip, and I needed to be there during rehab. So and left Anne by herself, and she supported that.
I'm very, very grateful to you for sharing your mother's story with us and with our listeners. What was your mother's name?
Catherine Murphy, a good Irish thug.
Clark, we will now take a short break and we'll come back and we'll continue this wonderful conversation together.
Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on the different causes of chest pain can be found at covenanthealth.org/heart.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Now again, your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Tom McGovern, your host, and I'm delighted to have as our guest this Sunday afternoon my dear friend of 47 years, Dr. Clark Corcoran. You came to Lubbock 47 years ago. You joined the Texas Tech faculty.
Joined the Texas Tech political science faculty in August of 1970, 4 months after the Lubbock tornado, 3 months after, and the devastation was still very apparent on the face of the landscape in and around the university. In fact, I had taken the job in January. I had accepted the job in January of 1970. And nobody had ever heard of Lubbock in my family and among our friends. By May, everybody had heard of it. People were saying, do you really have to take that job? Texas Tech was a wonderful place, and Lubbock's been a wonderful place for that 47 years.
It's been a great home for both of us, and we have been very, I think, blessed by being part of this wonderful community. Yeah. What attracted you to begin with to political science as your profession?
Really, my branch of political science, where I started out, is what's called political philosophy, which is the ideas that are behind politics, freedom, justice, the common good, what's the best form of regime or a form of government and so forth. It was a chance to combine my interest in philosophy, philosophical questions, with my interest in politics, which had been sparked during the 1960s, as so many were. I graduated high school in 1963 and college in 1967. Political science, that particular branch of political science, was a way of combining those two interests, philosophical questions applied to politics.
Yeah, of course, you know, the great themes that run through modern-day politics and modern-day living are old ideas, and it's often good for us to go back and connect with the ancient roots. And
right. Yeah, and that's what I did for the first 15, 20 years of my time at Tech. Continued to teach that up to the time I retired from Tech in 2007. But I branched out into what I think of as related fields, healthcare policy and healthcare politics and religion and politics. There are a lot of different branches of political science. If I really think about it, master's thesis and dissertation was about the dearth of community in American political life and political thinking, the domination of individualism. That's a theme and a controversy and a balance that continues to the present time. We've grown more and more isolated from each other in lots of different ways. The search for groups of people that we can find meaningful relationships with is as big a struggle as ever. That's kind of kept me going in a way for 50 years or more. We tend in the United States to lean towards the individualist side, with its advantages and as we said in the first segment, its disadvantages, its dangers. By God, we're going to go it alone in the world, and we Americans can't learn anything from anybody else. That's a dangerous idea.
As you look at Lubbock and then elsewhere, what are some of the factors that help people to come together as a community that promote the common good or that promote a sense of community within a community?
There's lots of them, and I don't pretend to have the answer to all of this. One thing is common work, that is working together on something. So I always think in a parish community, for example, in the church, we talk about getting to know each other and so forth, but you don't really get to know each other until you're building something together or cleaning up a churchyard together or you're doing some kind of work together. So that's one thing. Now, that's hard for a community like a city, Lubbock. I mean, you can imagine a small town, for example. Everybody comes out and cleans up the park, trims the grass around the headstones and all of that sort of thing. But you can't really imagine that very well in Lubbock or certainly in Dallas or Fort Worth. So there have to be other things that bind a community together beyond common work. So one is shared values, shared principles, shared ideas, shared experiences. Tragedy is a shared experience. So I mentioned the tornado. Lubbock clearly came together as a community around that and around the recovery. I think that's frittered away to some extent. There have grown up in Lubbock the same kind of divisions that characterize the rest of the country by income, by class, by race, by political ideology, all the ways that we're divided. Common experiences is one thing, common work, common values is another. There has to be, I think, a rough equality among people.
What do you mean by a rough equality?
Well, I don't mean that everybody has to have, say, the same education, the same income, et cetera, but when people get so far apart, it's hard for them to relate to each other. It's hard for them to find common experience or common ground. When the gap between the lowest, the least advantaged in society and the 1%, 2%, 5%, whatever that is, they live in separate worlds. And if you live in a separate world, you can't form a civic community together very well.
Davis Price was here some Sundays ago, and he was talking about we need to break out of our silos, church, mosque, synagogue, right, whatever, right. And really worship with, be involved with people who right. espouse a different way of life, praying, of worship. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I've been a friend of Davis for a long time, and our kids played soccer together and so forth. So, and I admire what he's done over the years and certainly agree with what he said. One of the things about Lubbock that's appealing is the church communities. There are different communities of solid faith communities and shared experience, and that's a very good thing about Lubbock. On the other hand, those faith communities tend to be siloed. Faith community is a great form of community, but it also can be an isolating kind of thing. The boundaries aren't porous. And there's two ways to reach out, of course, at least two. One is to reach out to convert the other, and the other is to reach out to listen to the other. The form of reaching out and the form of the boundaries being open is pretty important to me.
Clark, we need to take a short break, and we'll continue this wonderful conversation. Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on the different causes of chest pain can be found at covenanthealth.org/heart. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Now again, your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm delighted this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest, Dr. Clark Cochran. As we finished our last segment and in the ensuing off-the-air conversation with our wonderful producer, Chuck Luck, we were talking about hope for the present. You grew up in the 60s, time of great idealism. Let's fast forward to you and I as older people now in 2017, be it in the context of the church, of communities of faith, or where do you see the challenges and what troubles you, number one?
I guess I want to go back to the 60s, this time of hope. That wasn't my experience in the 60s, actually. And I suppose I've always been a little bit off of the whatever the zeitgeist is, whatever the spirit of the times is. I've always been a little off of that because during the 1960s, I was a traditionalist conservative, criticizing all these people talking about the hope for the future. Traditionalist conservatives are pessimists, basically. It was only in graduate school in the late 60s and in the early 70s as I read political philosophy that I became more radical. The older I've got, the more radical I've gotten, which is the opposite of the way people are supposed to get as they get older. The hope of kind of creating a better world was always, to me, overdone. I've always thought that the struggle for a more just world, for the common good, really is a struggle. It's a hard slog and requires a lot of work, and it isn't going to come by just sort of natural evolution. I've always thought the idea of progress is baloney. Martin Luther King Jr. famously said the arc of history bends towards justice. I'm not sure it does. And the troubling thing to get to the present is for the last 4, 5, 6 years, and certainly the last year or two, the arc of history tends to be turning towards injustice. And it's voices like Pope Francis, you mentioned, that kind of keep bringing us back to hope. So for, you know, the refugee, just to pick one thing, there are more refugees fleeing violence in this world than there ever have been, certainly in living memory and the last few hundred years. The wars, the civil wars, the terrorism, all of those things are cause of great concern and suffering and tears. The hope is if people can find a way beyond their fears towards reaching out to the brothers and sisters in suffering from death into life. We're in the Easter season, and that is the message, that death doesn't have the last word, that life has the last word, and that love has the last word. It's hard to see that except in very concrete actions by people in responding, say, to refugees.
If you were to create in Lubbock or elsewhere communities that would espouse justice, fairness, the essential components of human dignity, what shape and what form would that conversation take?
It would have to take form, I think, in a very particular circumstances. That is, it's very hard actually to have conversations about the deepest disagreements we have without an agreement to a structured conversation where there's a safe space, where there's an agenda. So just meeting people that I disagree with strongly is likely to end in shouting, not in understanding, unless there's a structure around that dialogue and conversation. There are a couple of different interfaith groups in Lubbock that do that. They're very small. That's part of a beginning. To go back to something I said in an earlier segment about working together, if we could work together to resettle a refugee family or three or four, that would be a concrete expression of love. That is, it's very hard to hate refugees when you know them. I go back to the early 70s when St. Elizabeth's Parish here in Lubbock and other parishes came together to resettle Vietnamese refugee families.
I was actively involved in that, Clark. Yeah. That was one of the most gorgeous, wonderful experiences. And see, the outcome of it generations later is so wonderful.
My wife and I got very close to one family. We helped them a lot. We visited them in Houston 5 or 6 years ago. The kids were NASA engineers, dentists, physicians. people involved in international trade. I mean, it's really quite extraordinary. And refugees from Syria or Afghanistan or Niger, other places can be the same. And that's just picking one thing of our current neuralgia.
You know, it can happen in many ways. It can happen in dialogue outside of the structure, mosque, synagogue, churches where we worship. Right. If you were to look at any of our churches, Catholic, particularly where we are concerned, but any other churches, what type of dialogue within a church would you like to see happening within a given community that would foster this ability to reach out to others?
It's really, in a way, the same structured dialogue. What happens in our religious communities, Catholic parishes or other Christian communities, and the same I suspect is true of Jewish synagogues and mosques, is we self-segregate so that Catholics who think alike go to the same parish and Catholics who don't think alike go to another parish. It's finding common ground to talk about that isn't going to be immediately touching the neuralgic points. That requires some real thought and preparation and structure, and not just saying, oh, hey, let's sit down tomorrow night and talk about why you're a Republican and why I'm a Democrat or vice versa. That doesn't work very well that way.
You've always been a moderate voice, though. You've always preached dialogue in a fair, just, organized sort of way. As we reflect on Anne and yourself and your family life here in Lubbock, we are so grateful for you, for the gift and for the many ways you have served this great community of ours.
Thank you. I mentioned becoming more radical as I get older, but perhaps moderation is the most radical thing there is these days.
Absolutely. Well, Clark, thank Anne and yourself and your family for your service to this community.
It's been a blessing. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith Matters with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of Lubbock's only certified chest pain center. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.